Good morning. My name's Steve Hong. Little background on me before I start my message. I'm currently a certified candidate in the PCUSA to be a teaching elder. And Mark, Reverend Mark, is my liaison through the process, which is why I'm connected with Mark. And so he asked me, on vacation, to come and preach to you. I'm also a full-time hospital chaplain resident at OSU Wexner currently, and I'll be there for a year, so that's a little about me. So thank you for having me and listening to me. You know, when I wake up in the morning, I have this regiment, this ritual thing I do. First thing I do is I turn off my cell phone alarm clock, and I turn it off several times because I set it every 15 minutes, just in case. I think I have like 10 alarms, just in case I don't wake up. And what I do immediately, it's not healthy, I think, but I check my phone, right? I turn it off, I check my phone, open up my various apps to see if anything happened during the night that was important for some reason. And I make a mistake every morning, and I open up Google News. And usually, on Google News app, the news isn't very good. For some reason, Americans, like us, we like bad news, I think. The coding in the system knows that we like bad news, so it gives us bad news. And any day of the week, you can open up your app or your newspaper, if you still read your newspaper with actual paper, and you'll always read about political turmoil, some sort of storm coming in, some sort of disaster approaching, some sort of doomsday article. And for people all around the world on a daily basis, the wind blows, the waves get larger, the rain pours down like millions of little bullets for millions of people. For a lot of people all around the world, in every country, they wake up and they can see storm clouds coming towards them. They know pain and hardship. They know that their heart is about to break in some form. In places all around the world. I remember this story during the World Cup in Brazil in 2014. Now, when you think of the World Cup or the Olympics, what do you think of? You think of unity and you think of human triumph, right? A lifetime of training, and these athletes get to go to this luxurious country, and they're famous, and they get to live out their dreams, and the host city gets to show off to the world how awesome they are. But underneath all that goodness, I read this article about the evil shadow sides of these large events. If you didn't know, especially in Brazil, the sex trafficking during that time reached an apex in Brazil. And I read this article that stayed with me, and they interviewed a 13-year-old girl named Larissa in Brazil, and she said this about her daily life. She said, "Sniffing the glue makes me feel dizzy and numb, and it stops me feeling hungry, so I don't need to eat. It helps me cope with the violence and danger on the street." And so, as she wakes up and thinks about her day of being a trafficked youth, she has to sniff the glue to numb her feelings. And I wonder how someone gets through that kind of storm. In our passage today, it says in verse 23, "Then he got into the boat and his disciples followed him. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat." Now, before this boat trip, Jesus had been teaching and preaching to people about the kingdom of God. He had been healing to show people a hint of his glory and his power. Jesus did amazing things before this boat ride. And during this time before the boat ride, people with leprosy came to him and said, "Lord, if you're willing, please heal me." And he did. "Be clean," Jesus said, to countless numbers of people. People came to him to get healing. And before this boat ride, a very specific story happened that I think it's important to understand this passage that we read this morning. Before this boat ride in Capernaum, a Roman centurion soldier came up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, my servant," or the translation could be "son," "my son or servant is sick, and he needs your help. I know who you are. I'm a captain, and there are people under me that follow my orders, and you are just like that. You are the captain. You're the king. So I know that nature, that this creation, this human body has to obey you. And so I want you to say it and heal my servant or my son." And Jesus sees this, again, Roman centurion, non-Jewish Gentile soldier and says, "Wow, I see your faith in me. I can see that you know who I am and you put your faith in me. And so I will grant your request. Go back home and you will see that your servant or your son has been healed." That's before the storm. So before the storm, Jesus has been doing amazing things, kingdom stuff, stuff that can't be explained except by the truth that Jesus Christ is the kingdom. He's the kingdom and the kingdom of God, and the kingdom has come. And in the kingdom, when the kingdom's around, Revelations 21, verse 4 says that God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. And this centurion knew that somehow, and said, "This is Revelation 21, 4, in the flesh and blood. So I'm going to ask him to help my servant or my son." Now, in the midst of this crazy storm, now before the boat ride, the disciples have been around, right? They've seen some stuff happen, and they've heard Jesus preach. So you would think they'd have the most wisdom and knowledge about who this Jewish man from Nazareth is. And yet, before the boat ride, a Gentile, non-Jewish, centurion, Roman, seems like they know more than the 12 disciples. And so here's the proof of that, because on this boat ride, a storm came. And verse 24 says, "Suddenly a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping." Jesus was sleeping during this gigantic, horrible storm, and the disciples thought they were going to die on this boat. The waves are high, and the water is pouring down. The ship is going up and down, and drops of water are leaking through the cracks on the wooden deck. And Jesus is sleeping. Now, when I was a kid pastor, I thought this was like a great story for kids, you know? It's very simple, it seems like. But as I get older, I'm like, how is he sleeping? How do we explain this to children, let alone adults? The disciples, in verse 25, they go down. They go, where's our master? Where's our savior? Where's our captain during the storm? The disciples went down and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." So the disciples woke him and screamed, "Lord, save us. We're going to die. Help." Now, if you grew up in the church like I did, going to Sunday school and all that, and if you had any sort of teaching or a teacher with you, and they went over this story, it's a very popular children's ministry story, what was the lesson? They said, if you're in trouble, like the disciples, what should you do? Run down and go to Jesus and ask for help, right? That was a lesson, usually. If you're in trouble, what should you do, kids? Pray and ask for help. And I got a gold star for that answer. You know, way to go, Steve. But what does Jesus say to the disciples who run down to ask for help? He says, he didn't say, I'm so glad you came to me, disciples. Good job, gold star. No, Jesus says this. He says in verse 26, he says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" He got up and rebuked them during the storm. In their panic and fear, Jesus said, "You have such little faith. Why did you wake me up?" He criticized them. He felt disappointed by their response during the storm. You know, in the past 5 years, the ocean has been in the news a lot, right? Planes going down, missing planes, hurricanes from the ocean coming over to wreak havoc on the earth. Hundreds of lives gone in the ocean, lost. I bet there were some Christians on those planes. And I bet they prayed as the plane went down, perhaps. I imagine like the disciples of Jesus, they went to him in those vehicles or planes or boats or in those coastal homes and said, "God, the storm's coming, please help me." In Korea back in 2014, you may have heard of this, but there's a ship named Sewol, and it sank, and it carried hundreds of people, and over 200 were high school students. And this boat sank, and over 200 students, high school students, perished in the boat. And I have a colleague who is a pastor at the church that lost 30 to 40 youth in that church. My worst nightmare, you know. I never want to minister at a church where that would happen. What do you do, right? And it's very tragic. There's texts of youth saying goodbye to their parents, things like that. And now you gotta believe there are Christian people on that boat, especially Christian youth on that boat. And they're probably praying, "God save us, the boat's going down." And I'm sure when the parents found out that the boat was going down, I'm sure they prayed, right? They prayed and prayed and prayed. "God save my child, God save my child," but it didn't happen. The boat sank. And I guess the question is, was Jesus sleeping then too? Because the boat did sink and young people did perish. You know, think about a hard time in your life. All of us are human beings. We all suffer. We all go through unspoken suffering, maybe secret feelings we've held on to because we don't trust somebody, or all of us have something in our life, right, where a prayer may have come up. Did you fear for your life? Did you run down, though, in those moments? Did you run down to Jesus and ask him for help? And did you find him sleeping and doing nothing? Because I have. There's moments in my life where I feared something and I ran to Jesus. I said, "Jesus, help me." But I found him sleeping, just like on this boat. Why would he be sleeping when his disciples are in a state of total fear and panic on this boat? In the midst of anxiety and worry, he's asleep. When the young kids on that Korean boat prayed to God to save them, when that Malaysian plane a few years ago went down, the countless number of people that sleep on the streets in our country and around the world, those in the hospital who just got a terrible diagnosis. And if we were to panic and worry and say, and run to Jesus and say, "Jesus, help me, we're gonna die, we're gonna suffer." What if Jesus told us, "You have little faith, why are you so afraid?" How would you understand that? How would you feel? Now, I've been processing this my whole life. I'm still doing it. And this might be hard to hear, but here's where I am. I think that when the boat went down, when that plane went down, I think indeed Jesus was sleeping. But Jesus wasn't sleeping because he didn't care. Rather, I think Jesus was sleeping because he knows who he is. He's the kingdom in the flesh and blood. And in the kingdom, it says, there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. In the kingdom of God, there is no more death or mourning or crying or pain. And Psalm 107 says this, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Why were the disciples on that boat afraid? Didn't they know that Jesus was on that boat too? Jesus was physically on that boat with them. As it rocked back and forth and up and down in their fear and anxiety, Jesus Christ was on that boat with them. Going back to the centurion in Matthew 8 that I told you about, this non-Jewish Gentile person, he's also, right, either his son or his beloved servant is sick and dying. He is also in a storm. But do you see the difference in the heart, in the calmness of the disciples and the centurion? They're both in a storm, right? But the centurion says, I know who you are, and you are in front of me. There's a calmness to him. The disciples demanded. They demanded from Jesus. And here's the good news, though. Jesus can take our demands. Yes, he rebuked the disciples, but what did he do? He calmed the storm. But I think it'd be wise to be like the centurion, to know who Jesus is. That in the storm, we'll be okay. All of us have storms, right? Financial storms, physical, medical storms, academic storms for our students if they're here, college students, professional storms. And I'm sure everyone in this room has gone through some sort of horrible rainstorm or thunderstorm or hurricane, whatever. And in those storms, did you hope, did you run to Jesus and say, Jesus, help me, I'm about to drown? And did you find him sleeping? And has that hurt you? It's hurt me in the past. And I've had to work to regain a new wisdom, a deeper sense of who God is. And here's where I am now again. There's a great mystery to this, and I'm not sure if it works or not, but here's where I am with this story. Even though the boat is going up and down and side to side, and even though the boat is about to flip over, right, in your life, if you find Jesus sleeping, why not grab a pillow and lay next to him and sleep? Because the storm is going to pass. Because he promised us. Because Jesus promised us that in his kingdom there is no more death and no more mourning. All tears are wiped away. Because our gospel, our Bible is important because it's the proof of who Jesus is, right? Because if Jesus thought that his disciples were going to die on that boat forever, who is Jesus? Jesus carried that cross. Jesus took the pain. Jesus was crucified on the cross to forgive us, to pay our debts, to love, to show us what it means to love, to take our pain, to take the sting of pain away from us. Now, would that Jesus really just be sleeping on a boat if that storm was going to overtake his disciples? Would that person on the cross truly, really be sleeping if Jesus didn't know himself that they'd all be okay in the end? Of course not. And that's what it means to believe in the promise, the hope of the gospel. Even when your boat is rocking and you think you're going to die, there's that crazy, almost superhuman ability to grab a pillow and lay next to Jesus, who's also sleeping. You know that canary in the coal mine metaphor? If you find Jesus sleeping in the greatest storm of your life, that's really good news. Because that means he's not worried about your life. Because he promised us. And the Bible is proof that he keeps his promises. So have faith, take heart. And I hope this made sense. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for allowing me to speak here. And life is hard, life is confusing, life is complex. But you promised us to be with us in these storms. And I pray for peace in those moments. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.